Welcome to Jim and Pat's Glasgow West End Chat, episode 101. Today, Pat chats to Dr. Elisa Senini from University of Glasgow and Rodrigo Hernandez Gomez from Highland Secondary School Art Department. Hopefully I've got those names pronounced correctly, probably not, and so I apologise for that. They're talking about an exhibition called Masks We Wear, which is currently on at Glasgow University's Advanced Research Centre, and it's on until the 6th of April 2024. We came across the exhibition just at the weekend, I think because I was playing a wee gig down that way in St Mungo's Square, and Pat was wandering about within the building and came across the exhibition, was absolutely bowled over by it, and thought we really need to have the people or the person that set this up on the podcast so we can chat to them about it. It's actually all work by the talented pupils at the school, and that's again, that's Highland Secondary School. They created the masks. You should definitely try and catch it if you can. And they came along for this chat with their lovely sons, Icaro, 7 years of age. Is that right? Is that how you say it? I-C-A-R-O. And Cosimo, 4 years of age. So they were watching cartoons in the other room, so you might hear them a wee bit of noise in the background, and that's just them playing, so don't worry about that. Anyway, enough of me chatting. Let's listen to Pat chatting to Dr. Elisa Senini and Rodrigo Hernandez Gomez.
Today I have Elisa Senini and Rodriguez Hernandez Gomez.
Rodrigo, yeah.
Come up to have a chat with me. Thanks very much for coming along. Yeah. I met Rodriguez the other day along at the ARC Centre. I don't know how many people have been along to the new buildings at the university, but the ARC building is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Is it the Advanced Research Centre?
Yes.
So Jim, my husband, was playing at an event there at the Spring Fling. And then inside, there were all these activities, mainly for children. And then there was this fantastic exhibition, Mask We Wear. And it was Rodriguez who was responsible for that. And so I got chatting to him and found out a bit more about it. And it was much bigger than the exhibition. And Elisa was also involved from the university side. And Rodriguez from Highland Secondary School. Have I got that right?
Yes. yes, that's fine. Yeah, that's correct. My name is Rodrigo, though. Remember?
Rodrigo.
Yeah.
Rodrigo. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Just because it's so hard, I don't understand it. You know. Last name is Hernandez, first name is Rodrigo, so I understand. Don't worry about it.
And Rodrigo is from Mexico. And Elisa is from Italy.
Correct.
So whereabouts in Italy are you from?
I'm from northeast, so close to the border with Slovenia and Austria.
Right. Yeah. I don't think we've been to Italy a few times. We absolutely love it, but I don't think we've been to that part.
It's very nice.
Yeah. We were there, that was our last holiday abroad before the pandemic, and we were in Tuscany.
Well, so, it's lovely.
Yeah, it's really, really. Really nice. So it's fantastic to have people from different parts of the world in Glasgow. And that was brilliant that you could do that project together.
Yeah.
Maybe we can talk about, Eddie can talk about how this
it began from my book. I wrote a book titled Fragments, Genius and Madness, Masks in the Fin de Siècle Imagination. Mm-hmm. And so it was all about masks from 1880 to 1920s. And it was about masks as objects, as ornaments, as portraits, and as tool for transformation. Mm-hmm. And how the masks in this period of history are everywhere. They are objects of anthropological research, of medical research. They become really a really important metaphor for fluid gender identities. Mm-hmm. And I was also researching how these masks become the protagonist of books. So how the object itself becomes the subject of a narrative. Then I finished this book. I worked on it for many years, and then I kind of started to think, well, could this book speak to people beyond academia?
Mm-hmm.
And then with Rodrigo, we kind of thought, yeah, maybe could speak to secondary school students. And Lindsay Middleton, who is the advisor for the AHRC impact, how is it called? It's the IAA account. So I think it's the impact, I don't remember what it stands for, but it's funding to build impact. So it's funding to bring research out of the university into the community.
That's fantastic.
And so I was telling her about my book and how I thought perhaps it could speak to secondary school students. And we started brainstorming how this could come about. And then we started thinking how we could not so much, you know, come into school and read my book, but bring the book to life. And bring students to see the museums that I was talking about in the books, like see the masks that I was talking about in the book. So what we did is we worked with the team of art teachers at Heinland, and I gave a couple of talks about my book, right, and what I was talking about in my book, and then we planned a series of museum visits. So we saw, for example, we went to the museum, the Anatomical Museum in Edinburgh,
right.
And we saw the death masks and the ethnic masks that I had been speaking about in the book,
mm-hmm.
And that I talked about in class. And then we went to the Mask and Bumper Center, mm-hmm. and we explored
mm-hmm.
masks as tool for transformations.
Mm-hmm.
And we also went to visit Sharmanka's Kinetic Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of saw the perspective of masks and wooden figures and the connection between masks and puppets.
Mm-hmm.
And performance.
And performance
mm-hmm.
as well.
Yeah.
And then with the art teachers, they had a series of activities. I'm going to let
Rodrigo speak. Yes, so basically we designed a program where all of this was integrated into a year-long practical but also theoretical program for them. So they could begin first to learn that, you know, more in depth what masks do,
mm-hmm.
and how prevalent they are in the world, like they are in every single culture.
I've never thought much about masks, but that exhibition is fantastic. The children did so well. I mean, you did so well, you know.
It's all their credit.
It's a pupil's credit.
And then I was thinking that both, like Italy, the all the Venetian masks in the past, and then, you know, the sort of Aztec, some of the masks kind of reminded you of that. But it's not so... It's not something, maybe you think about it at Halloween or something, but they're not that really attractive, you know, but it really is a fascinating topic.
I think what happened is that because we did it in such depth that they saw the masks in every type from all over the world, especially the Masks and Puppet Center, they were able to see masks from everywhere.
Yeah. They would be very pleased.
Yes,
in the public center.
They allowed us to photograph their masks, which, you know, it's very important for pupils to come in contact with the objects,
mm-hmm.
because then they really appreciate, they really learn from being able to hold them, to look at, inspect them in such
mm-hmm.
close proximity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because there wasn't that barrier that we normally have with
mm-hmm.
encountering objects that are foreign to us,
mm-hmm.
I think they became very familiarized with them. And,
mm-hmm.
and when you see their work, they're very very comfortable
mm-hmm.
making these very complex shapes and presenting a very complex character in each of their masks.
That was a brilliant idea. I mean, you know, the children must have absolutely loved it, and then they've learnt so much, but they must have got such a kick out of making those masks.
Yeah.
You know, I hope they all saw the exhibition.
Yes, yeah, certainly, yes. We had an opening for them, and just especially for them and their families, and yes, yeah. We had a full...
That, I mean, I could not have been... Honestly, it's so impressive. And that's a nice area for it to be set up in.
It's the perfect building, and it's great because until a few years ago, we didn't have a place like that at the university, so it's great to have a place to...
And imagine for many of these pupils... This means a lot because their work is in a very, you know,
it's prestigious.
It's in a prestigious place, and they felt, many of them came to me to say that they were very happy with how it looked and where it was. Uh-huh. And I think it really lifted their spirits, and they really gave meaning to their long process of making and studying masks.
Mm-hmm.
So it really wrapped up the project very well.
One thing that they did, which I think was very interesting, is that when we went to the Anatomical Museum in Edinburgh, we spoke a lot about how in the 19th century they made casts, right? For that masks, they made casts of people's faces. And then they did this in class. They made a cast of their own faces. But it was really interesting because they then chose to decorate this cast and kind of turn them into Venetian masks or one of them made a Mapuche mask.
Yeah, so
but
because,
it's their features.
Yeah. I didn't realize that at first.
Yes,
it's not
it's actually their faces.
Their own faces. I mean, that was tremendous.
And the other very interesting thing that happened is that some people's, because the process involves you having a coat of silicone over your face for like 20 minutes, many of them... Well, not many, but a few of them didn't want to go through that. They didn't feel comfortable doing that. So they asked the friend if they could borrow their face,
right.
And they did. So then there's, you know, then there's this sort of very interesting sharing of identity and facial features, but then turned into something else because one of the nice things that happened is that once the casts were made, they were mesmerized by them.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to tell them, this is a blank canvas. This is now... for you to put,
yeah.
you know, develop a theme. Because many of these works are going to give them a credit at the S4 level, so SQA level, not 5 level.
So how old are the S3 and S4
15,
children?
16, 15,
well,
some
good.
Of them are 14 because they're in S3, and so...
I mean, it could inspire them, you know, for their whole future. You know, some of them maybe be interested in art, or some of them might be interested in theatre, or some of them might be interested in studying more.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I think it was really so imaginative, and you know, it's great when they can do something and then they're going out and going to different places and finding out more. They must have had a great time.
I think so. I think we also did, I think they did too, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, one of the things that I liked a lot about the project and the whole process is that you realize that this is also a huge opportunity for building a background about how objects are and how complex any given object can be. So if you apply that sort of depth to studying any given object, you'll be in a whole field of knowledge. You know, you can explain, you know, it just leads you into all these things. So it's a really nice... experience in that way for them and for us.
Absolutely.
To see. Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to me what fin de siècle means?
It's just a period of history. So we usually think about this as the period that goes from the 1880s to the 1920s, roughly. So
it's about a period.
Yeah, it's about a period of time. So when I was writing the book, I was very focused on this period of time because masks become such an important metaphor at this time of history.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also what we tried to show to the pupils, that, you know, to learn, we try to show them that it's really important to learn about their heritage and that masks can also be, they are historical objects and they function differently in the past than they function today.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of gave them this insight, so that's, for example, the Venetian masks, you know, what were they for or how did they work, and also the gender aspect of the mask, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that women were not allowed to wear masks, firstly, was only for men, and then only much later women could wear them, but it was a different type of mask, so we've been discussing this in class.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of gender. Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of gender. Yeah, the gender, I think, is really important, the gender aspect. And there is also the aspect of ethnicity, and also, you know, when we went to to the Mask and Puppet Center, they saw masks from all over the world. So that was also something very important, like to see how they function differently across traditions, right? The African mask functions very differently to the Indonesian mask, to the Mexican mask. So they were able to see that as well.
We don't look at these boring Halloween masks. But maybe they'll make their own masks.
I think that's where this leads, right? That, for example, all these people now have the ability to make masks, very sophisticated masks, and alter that tradition as they as they grow up and. You know, it's it'll be up to them, but their skills are there now.
And you know, these masks are also portraits because they're cast of their own features. Yeah. So they're portraits, they're ornaments, they're tools for transformation, they're a bit of everything. Yeah. So,
I mean, it could be, and it's something that it's complex but simple idea at the same time. Yeah. I mean, it could be replicated in a whole lot of schools.
Yeah, and that's
colleges.
What we were hoping. Yes, and it's really great that there is this funding for impact, because it enables us to do things like this. It was really fun for me to see that a book could become a project. And it, in a way, I feel that it brought the book to life in a way that it wasn't before.
Yeah, because it seems such an academic book.
It's in a few libraries, and then you always wonder who is going to read this. But now I know that it came alive through this project, and it is something
It's great that the two of you had the skills to combine to make it happen. So have you got any plans for the next stage, or
we're working on that, right?
We applied for follow-up funding because it was very successful. So we are applying to do a second round and to run the project once again with different pupils, so that we can have a wider we can broaden it to more pupils and also follow it more thoroughly. And you know, like every project, if you run it a second time, it's better usually, because you learn how to do it. So we're really hoping to do this and to involve also the Hunterian Museum.
Yeah, the Hunterian Museum is fabulous.
Yeah, so
and they're very nice staff up there.
So they would be very excited to work with us, so we're hoping it will work.
That would be a great exhibition in there.
As you see, that would be another perfect place to house an exhibition like this.
Yeah. Because also, you know, something I had seen some of the work, right, that the pupils made, but when I saw it in the exhibition, it really looked different, because you know, the question of display is also something that I guess the exhibition encouraged pupils to think about, right? How objects look differently if they're displayed or if they're not displayed. And to see it all together, it really had a more powerful.
It was so eye-catching and interesting. You know, that every time you went past, there was somebody or a few people. I mean, most of the kids were along doing the activities, but there was always a couple of people the whole day wandering around, looking. It was really.
It's interesting that while we were working on the masks, and we made paintings, drawings, and in actual casts and 3D work, many of the pupils were commenting on how the social media is a mask too, right? And that was another conversation we had, which, you know, those are maybe our contemporary masks, right? That's kind of what is evolved into.
You can hide behind
avatars.
Avatars and all kinds of, you know.
Definitely.
Media identities, in a sense, right?
And another really nice thing about the exhibition, I, for some reason, wasn't on Monday, but we made a video, and the video shows pictures of the whole process. So not only pupils making the masks, but also the visits to the theater and to the museums, and the process of casting. So I think that was very nice, because in a way, that's part of the exhibition too. Like it's not just the result, the output, but it's also really the whole process, right? Mm-hmm. What they have been experiencing throughout the project.
Yeah. And I think it does a good job also to show how hard they've worked.
Yeah.
That it, you know, they really invested themselves. They really went overboard. Like they stayed after school so many days to work on their stuff so that it was ready for the exhibition. And I think that that comes across a little bit more in the video.
It'd be
so you see it in the work, but you actually see them working on this stuff, and you can see how long it takes to create one of them, and that's, I think, a very cool part of it.
And I think it's also, like, the video is also good because it's, you know, it can be for researchers as well, to kind of see what kind of project you can
organized. Well, I think that's right, and for teachers to see,
as well.
You know, because the one of the biggest problems is the kids being bored.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't be bored with that project.
There was no time to be bored.
That would be really exciting. Yeah.
Like some of the masks were finished the day before the exhibition. So
but it'd be very exciting for them.
Yeah,
you know?
Certainly.
I mean, I would love to do that.
Yeah.
I like doing crafts with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're getting bigger. And when they used to have projects, and then I sometimes say to my grandson, I wish we were still doing your projects.
Yeah, it's lovely. And yeah, and another really beautiful thing is that most of them came with their parents, right, or with their siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really nice to,
mm-hmm.
you know, at this age, they don't
mm-hmm.
always want to do things with their parents,
mm-hmm.
but I think this
mm-hmm.
is the kind of thing that also encourages families to come together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really beautiful that the university
mm-hmm.
can be a place for this,
yeah.
for families.
Absolutely.
Coming in.
And you know, I don't think enough people are aware yet of the ARC.
Mm-hmm.
True.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I put some things up on the internet, but I didn't even know about that event. I should have known
mm-hmm.
because Jim was playing at it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he mentioned to me quite a while ago,
mm-hmm.
but I wasn't seeing anything, I didn't see anything on, certainly nobody sent me anything
right.
about it,
mm-hmm.
Or I didn't see anything on social media
mm-hmm.
about it, and I think people, they don't know, because there are fabulous things going,
yeah,
I promote quite a lot the Creative Conversations, the book launches and whatnot, and writers coming to, they come to the chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about their work. So I've been promoting that for a long time, but sometimes miss that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the people, there needs to be more kind of, it will build up gradually,
mm-hmm.
but people kind of thought of the university as separate before.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now they're doing a lot of work to try
I think that's,
and
yeah.
link
that's,
in with the community.
That's what that space is trying to do or
yeah.
doing.
Yeah,
if it's not trying to do it, it's doing it.
No,
it's really
getting started, really.
Because,
yeah,
uh-huh.
it was early, day,
yes,
early
yeah.
days. But Jim actually, my husband, he's got all sorts of things that he does because he's a musician, but he also does a special kind of area of web design. It's about web accessibility
mm-hmm.
for disabled people.
Oh, wow.
So, but every day he walks into the West End and then comes home for his lunch, then goes back in. So in the mornings he works in Tinderbox on Bear
right.
Road, and in the afternoon he works in ARC.
Ah, right.
So
that's
so fantastic. So he knew about it. It was and it is nice that people can just go in.
It's wonderful.
Uh-huh.
It is
uh-huh.
wonderful
yeah.
that people can just go
in.
Also, for example, what it means to have, for example, an art exhibition in a place where it's mostly a science centre, right?
Yeah, of course.
And in it, like, for example, this one that is weaved into in between workshops that have to do with very, like, biology or computer science or, you know, it's weaved into all of these activities. So that's a very good, rich place to be, right? Where you
Absolutely.
Have all these
yeah.
offers in one place.
Yeah. They had the robots.
Yeah.
Remember
yeah.
the
yeah.
robot?
Oh my goodness.
It freaked me out a little bit when all the kids followed it. They were petting it as a real dog.
That's right. They were sort of walking around and it did a wee dance. And then was one wee boy, he was doing the same wee dance.
Yeah.
But that no, I think it will get really, really popular. So I'm going to get the podcast out as quickly as I can because I would like if people could see the exhibition's only on till the 6th.
Yeah.
So it'd be good if more people could get along.
That
yes.
would be great.
To see, I've got the feature up anyway. That's no bother. I can put that
oh,
out.
Thank
and
you.
And
yeah,
I'll correct any mistakes. But, no, it was such a fantastic idea. So what about your two wee boys? Are they artistic?
Yes, Icaro has made his own mask too.
Has
and he actually, you know, he's 7 years old and he stood up there 25 minutes to have an hour with the silicone on his face. And, you know, it's a hard thing to do for a kid that age. But he did it. No. He did it, and it came out very beautifully. So he's decorating the first one. But as you know, we have the mold, so we can cast quite a few, you know, as many as we want. So maybe as he grows up and looks back at this cast, it will mean a lot more to him.
He'll need to do another one in another 7 years.
To see
the stages.
I think that's also something else that pupils learn, that I think most people don't realize, that when you see a cast, you know, that hasn't been touching the face, right? Like that there is a mold that is a reverse process. So, you know, most people think, oh, it's the material that is right on the face, right? Not an immediate thought to think that, no, you need to make a mold, and then it gets filled with something. And then, you know, you take the mold out and you have the final process.
I wouldn't know how it worked at all.
I think pupils didn't, right?
They were so pleasantly surprised. So one of the things that slowed down our process is that when the cast comes out, it needs to be cleaned up a little bit because, you know, there's bits and pieces that stick to the surface, whatever. And they would spend hours looking at them and, you know, carving them carefully and just reading. It's almost like looking in a 3D mirror or something like that. So they spent quite a bit of time just detailing the masks in white.
So many different stages to it. It's really a fantastic project. So when did you come to Glasgow?
Well, it was mainly because of my job.
So when was that?
2017.
Right,
yeah.
So we found it.
Yeah.
So you're lecturing at the university?
Yes, and
you're doing research there?
Yes, both.
So is it language and literature?
Yes, both. Yes, I teach language, literature, and some translation as well.
That's good. And then you got the job at Heinlein?
I work right now at Heinlein as an art teacher.
Yeah. So when did you leave Mexico?
Well, I've been back and forth my whole life, but the first time was when I was 15, when we would have been 1996, roughly, something like that. Then we lived in Canada, with my family for a long time, and then we went back.
Toronto, and that, of course, my niece and nephew live in Toronto, and my sister lives in Oakville.
That's where we met, Elise and I, in Toronto.
Toronto is an exciting city.
I
might manage to go there this year. I've not been for a wee while.
It has changed a lot.
I usually maybe only in Toronto a couple of times, mostly around Oakville. It's very, very nice there, and it's very near the lake.
Yeah, that's a beautiful part of Toronto when you're like, there's a tiny island in front of downtown area. Nice to visit as well.
My nephew's not been back long. He was doing a doctorate in Halifax University, Nova Scotia. So he was away for a long time, you know. And it was so far that he wasn't really home very often, because Canada is so huge.
It is huge.
Yeah.
It's vast compared to Scotland.
Yeah, I think, it's...
I worked at this university.
Yeah, that's amazing. When he left school, he started doing an apprenticeship, a kind of engineering apprenticeship, and he was absolutely miserable. He didn't like it. And then I was over one time, and he was really down the dumps. I said to him, you should do an access course at university. So he did that, and then he went to, I think it's at Midwestern University in London, Ontario.
I taught there too.
he wasn't in your subject, so you might have come across him. So he's Sean Aitken, and my niece is Lauren Aitken. But no, it's great when you get your doctorate. I mean, it's such a hard slog.
A lot of work, right?
So well done. So where did you do your doctorate?
At the University of Toronto.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you taught in that some of the other universities
yes,
in Canada.
Yes, yes. I taught at three different universities in Canada and then I came here. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So how do you like Glasgow?
We love it.
We love it, yeah.
I love it. I really like it. Mm-hmm. And I really like being a teacher here because being from abroad, it really gets you into the fabric of the culture, of the people, and it really makes you feel grounded.
It's a bit more interesting for the pupils as well.
Yes, certainly. They probably wonder, who the hell is this guy?
Teacher's Mexican. Yeah. They'll think that's great.
They get a kick out of that one, yeah.
I would have been very excited. When I was at school, it was all nuns.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that they weren't exciting in their own way. it's fantastic. I wonder if the... I think probably there would be people at the art school very interested in what you've been doing as well.
It would be great to work with people at the art school,
It started
as a tiny project, but I think it grew quite a bit from what we had envisioned.
Yes.
Even the exhibition, in the beginning we weren't even sure would we have this exhibition or not, and then, gradually... We decided, okay, let's do it. But I think it's surpassed our expectation, right? It really went beyond our expectation.
Okay.
And you have to know that the exhibition happens right in the middle when we're preparing all of the work for the senior pupils to go to SQA, to the famous agency that gives
really
them a mark.
Yeah.
So it's the busiest time we can have in the art department. So for us, it was a huge effort to put it together, but it's been worth it every bit.
That's good. Yeah. Have you got a special area of art that you're mainly interested in?
Well, I think I seem, just within what I do, I seem to be profiling for making more 3D work than 2D work, but I cover that. Yeah. But I think 3D work, expressive work. But I like also sort of thinking about, for example, the masks are part of a design unit.
Mm-hmm.
So I like thinking about how they have that function, right? So I like function and ergonomics and all those things. So I guess that part of design also is in my field of interest. And
I mean, it's just not something I've actually ever thought about masks.
It seems like an object that's kind of past in a sense,
yeah.
But I think when you connect it back to our social media experience, you see, we have a lot to learn from masks.
Absolutely, and when you explain it and going out on the visits and all the different, the puppetry and the theatre, and it really could go, it's very wide, and then the history and the different countries.
Yeah, certainly.
No, that was, I think it was a brilliant idea.
It's been a lot of work, but a lot of fun as well.
Those children will always remember doing that.
I think so too.
I hope so too.
They will.
And that's what I guess is one of the greatest part of this kind of arts education, that is not just the skill, but a whole, you kind of gain a whole reference.
Mm-hmm.
That you travel with, that whenever you see something, you know what that is about, or you can connect it, right? So if you see a...
And then being involved in the exhibition, it gives it just a stamp of appreciation.
I think most of them, it would have been their first exhibition.
Especially some of the kids that may be not that confident.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That really gives them a big boost.
Yeah. I must say, all the teachers were really supportive, and it wasn't, it wasn't easy for the teachers, because... what I don't realize, as a researcher, is that, they have their own constraints because they have deadlines and they have exams, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they have certain very precise timing and a very precise program to follow.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't so easy to insert this idea into the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really the teachers who made this possible. So I'm very grateful to all teachers.
It must be a good school.
It is. It's a very good department. So everyone's, you know, really came together to help this happen. Mm-hmm. So even though I stand here as like, oh, yeah, I'm the keeper, but really I had the support of everyone. Yeah. And this is possible because of they were all supportive and helping make it happen, right?
Yeah.
In every possible way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very gratifying that it's turned out so well.
Yes.
You know, just, I think, you know, I hope a lot more people get to see it and that you get to do it in the Hunterian.
That would be
amazing. That would be really great.
Mm-hmm. I think you will. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they would be very, they would be delighted. And then it's coming as part of the university.
Yeah.
It would be a great, for example, to see the masks of the pupils with the historical masks in the same space, for example. That would make a really nice impact.
And have they got historical masks at the university?
They do, yes.
Well, that would be perfect.
And there are some masks that are a little bit controversial, and, you know, students, pupils can learn from that too. You know, why are they controversial, or what's the history behind the object? Mm-hmm. So
you'll need to write another book now.
No! maybe. We'll see.
An article.
You need to be comparing. These are masks.
No, but it was really nice. It was really sometimes, you know, it's almost late in the process I started thinking, wow, this came out of my book, right? And so it was quite late in the process that I started thinking about that. And it was a great feeling to think, to see something so concrete and real come out of an academic book.
Definitely. I mean, how often does that happen?
I don't know. I think it's happening more and more. So I think, you know, now the university is becoming a place like that. But, for example, this wasn't the way I was taught at university, right? So I think it takes a while for researchers to shift their mindset and see their work as something that can be applied in different ways and speak to different audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Because we weren't taught that way. No. I mean, when I was in university, it was all lectures and, you know, we were a number in the crowd. So it wasn't that kind of mindset. But I think it's changing. And so it's, you know, I think this has shown me, yes, things can be done, you know, and you don't need, you know, sometimes a little bit of funding is enough and you can do something very creative with your research.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. You know, even for the school, you know, they don't really get so many opportunities to...
Certainly wouldn't have been possible without the grant that helped us buy all the materials and take our students to museums, invite professionals in. Yes, it wouldn't have been possible. But the expertise are there now, and it's just, you know, it makes it more possible now.
Yeah.
Because we broke through something, you know.
So what is that grant?
Maybe
it's the Impact Acceleration Account. Yeah, that's the acronym. So it's funding from the AHRC, from the Arts and Humanities Council, and it's for researchers to bring the research to audiences beyond the university. So exactly for this kind of projects.
Yeah, perfect.
So it was, it was very fitting. Mm-hmm. So this was a way to talk about my book to school pupils, right? Mm-hmm.
So could you apply for that again?
We did apply. We don't know whether we've been funded or not, but we did apply. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and something interesting would also be, you know,
this has been so successful. You've got that to build on.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see. You never know, you know. But
see, look what we did. We can do it. Do it more.
Yeah, it'd be great because it really would be great to work with the Hunterian. I think that would be really interesting, also for the school to establish, you know, a relation to curators and do more. And it made me think also of my own classes at the university that I could do more with museum visits and introduce also my own students to object, you know, to working with objects. So it also made me think a little bit differently about my own research in general. So
are you doing new research now?
Yes. So the book on which this project was based was published in 2021. So now I'm working on a different book. It's a book on multilingualism, so on different languages.
Yeah.
And I've actually been working with secondary schools on this topic as well. So it also helped me to, you know, leading this project has also helped me to think about, you know, how my research in general can speak to different audiences.
We went to an event also at ARC quite recently, and it was Billy Kay. He's a Scots speaker. And have you come across that language?
Yes.
I mean, it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are small pockets of places in Scotland where they speak Scots. And it's not a dialect, it's a completely different language. He's brilliant. If you ever get the chance to see him, he is very, very entertaining. And that was a very enjoyable event. And a lot of people there from the university doing all sorts of different things. Some of them, one of the women she works in research at the university, and she's an Indian woman. I can't remember her name because it's so exotic. But I think her surname's Chowdhury. And was it Sohindra, something like that? But she writes about material and it's paisley shawls and patterns, because some of that came from India. But she was at the event, but she said she wasn't really understanding a lot of it because it's like listening to a different language. I would understand quite a lot of it, but younger people wouldn't, because it's gone out of use. Because some of the things we would maybe have said when we went to school, and we were maybe using Scots, you were told off. You were told not to do that. So, but I reckon people who've been brought up speaking Scots and English, well, they're multilingual.
Of course, yes, of course. Mm-hmm.
I read something a while back that people who are brought up with two or more languages, they tend to be, it's much easier for them to be pitch perfect in music.
It's not my case, sadly.
I don't
know, but
I thought, you could kind of see how that might work with the ear attuning more to different so your two wee boys speak, how many languages are they speaking?
Three.
Yeah,
Spanish,
wonderful.
Italian and English.
My goodness, how many kids can do that? That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, all kids could do that if it's
the thing is, any kid can do it,
I'll always say to them, you know, like our ones, if they moan at me, something's hard at school, I say to them, the hardest thing you ever did was learn to speak. and to write. You know, that's if you've learned that, then...
It's
a good way to see it.
Although I was very bad at languages at school.
I'm sure you just weren't taught properly. People say that, but there's not such a thing as being bad at the language.
Well, when I was 17, I worked in the south of France for a few months, and I kind of got that I could, sort of speak a bit, you know, quite a wee bit in French. But if I was reading it, I wouldn't know that was the same words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't read it or write it. But I think when they're wee like that, just for it to be so natural that they're learning.
They come so easy to them at that point, yes.
Yeah, they just remember all the words,
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm reading this book in Italian with them, and sometimes they speak with the words from the book, you know, slightly archaic words. It's very sweet.
And so and do you both speak Spanish and Italian and English as well?
Yes.
So the whole family has got...
Well, Ellie speaks three more languages. How many languages do you speak?
All with Italian accent.
Five.
That's special.
Yeah.
So what other languages
do you speak? I studied Russian for many years, and then German, and what do you speak?
French.
German, French, and a bit. I did Latin too. I have an MA in Latin.
I did Latin at school, but I don't think I got much further than amo, amas, amat. That's great. So the boys are lucky to, you know, be in this household with all the creativity and the sort of attention to learning is a good start for them, mate.
Yes, yes, we hope that they take advantage of it.
So if there's a bit of background noise, that's the wee boys.
Watching some TV while we have a conversation.
They've been very good though, haven't they?
Yeah. The credit goes to the TV. It just mesmerizes them. But they've been good. They've been very good, of course.
Yeah. So, listen, is there anything else you wanted to mention?
Go and see the exhibition. If there's a video on, watch the video. It's only 10 minutes. It's very, you know, it's a good background for the... when you were there, the video wasn't on. But we're going to ask Dr. Dom, see if we can have it back on again.
Right.
Because it gives a good background of
how they're working. And is that video up online?
No, it's not available online.
We have the video, so I think we should make it available.
Can we just put it up on YouTube?
Yes.
Yeah, we should do that. If you do that, let me know, because then I can link into it.
Okay, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Perfect.
We should do that because I think that's such an important part of the project.
I think it gives you very good background.
The video, of course, it was put together quickly, so it's not meant to be a professional video.
It's
about the process.
Yes,
it's a string of images in bits of video that gives you a bit the character of the pupils and the process that they went through to make this work, and the visits, the places we've been to. So it's pure documentation, but it's, you know,
It shows the stages of the project. You know, like instead of seeing only the mask, which is, you know, the result of the work, you kind of see what was behind it.
No, that's great.
So we'll make that available.
That's great.
Because I really feel the project was that, right? It wasn't just about making the mask. It was about everything that they did.
Yeah,
and I think one thing I could add is that at first it was dedicated to only two classes of mine because we only had funding to cover two classes. But as the project went on, other people from other classes started to get interested and participate, so they actually expanded even as we were making it because there was interest in that.
I saw that there was 37 kids involved.
Exactly.
That was a large number for... so much work,
and then S1 pupils were involved because they made the invitation.
They designed invitations for the...
That was great.
Yeah, so S1, S3, S4, S5. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's nice when the big children are working with the younger ones too.
It's really nice. Mm-hmm. And each pupil had something exhibited, right? So there was a piece of work. Some had more than involved. One piece, but each student had at least one piece.
One piece, yes. And that was important, obviously, because, you know, sometimes some people may struggle to make enough work to create a full folio or maybe make the whole mask, but they still had a piece representing them.
Yeah, to involve everyone. Yes. Yeah, that's important.
They couldn't be left out in any way, so yes.
That's fair.
Yes, it's only fair.
That's great.
Exactly.
So listen, very, very well done, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting us over.
I'll try and plug... I've let my niece know about it. I think I mentioned to my one of my great nieces. She's a really good artist. I know she would love it, Freya.
Uh-huh.
So I've let them know. And of course, when they've got quite a lot of kids, you see them, it's free.
Yeah,
because some things they can't afford to go to.
Of course.
One thing that we forgot to mention is that there is a little poster with a QR code. And if people scan that, they can tell us, they can let us know what they thought about the exhibition.
Oh, right.
And that's really important for us to get that feedback.
To pick that up tomorrow.
That'd be great.
Be there.
You should do one too.
We'll send you the link.
Send me the link.
Then I can put it on. That would be fantastic. Yes. Because one thing we haven't been able to do systematically is to gather feedback. So it would be great if...
Definitely.
It's just interesting to see what people think about it as well. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just to have an idea of how we can improve it and, you know, what people liked about it. What was what were the strengths? Because of course we, you know, we did all this work, but we can. It's good to see it through the eyes of other of the visitors.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. No, that's no bother.
That'd
yeah,
be great.
Can
thank
that.
You.
So.
Thank you so much.
Well,
I really appreciate
fantastic.
It.
Thanks for coming up.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Elisa, and thanks, Rodrigo. And hopefully you've still got time to go along and catch the Max at the Arc, Glasgow University, which is just next to St Mungo Square. Okay, catch you next time. Bye for now.